This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The 2015 United Nations Climate Change Conference, or COP21, ended last month with almost 200 parties from around the world negotiating the Paris Agreement to reduce climate change. Back home, the Malaysian government is also looking into ways to do our part to reduce the effects of climate change, with Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Tun Razak announcing a target to reduce the nation's greenhouse gas emissions intensity of GDP by 45% between now and 2030, relative to the levels in 2005. Climate change researcher at Third World Network, Hilary Chu, explains what reducing the emissions by these levels here entails.
I believe the figure 45% by 2030 was mentioned in the INDC, which is the Intended Nationally Determined Contribution that Malaysia submitted just a few days before the COP21 started in Paris. That was on the 27th of November. But what is important to note about this 45% is that what the government or the Prime Minister referred to was actually a 35% contribution that is unconditional that Malaysia would do. These are the climate actions that Malaysia would take in terms of mitigation actions, but the other 10% was actually conditioned. Prior to this, the government has also announced that they have achieved 33%. This is in relation to the Copenhagen pledge that the Prime Minister made in 2009 at COP15.
There are, however, barriers to Malaysia implementing the targeted 45% emissions reduction plan by 2030. Chu highlights the main concerns.
The cost of renewable energy technologies definitely have to come down. So to go further than what we can do to achieve the 45% by 2030, we definitely need to be able to access the renewable energy technologies. And in the Paris Agreement, technology is also being discussed and being acknowledged that it is an area that harnesses this global effort. So we have to address this issue of technology and access to renewable energy technologies in particular, like those that we have mentioned, solar, geothermal, to bring down the cost. So if we can do that successfully between now until 2020, where before the Paris Agreement kicks in, we are supposed to develop a more work program. So in this area, Malaysia has to pay attention to the negotiation in the next 5 years in the run up to 2021 before Paris Agreement kicks in. So this is the area where if we negotiate very carefully and successfully, we could make sure that the environment is very conducive for us to transform our economy from a carbon intensive ones to the low carbon economy.
Back in 2012, a report by the United Nations ranked Malaysia 26th amongst countries worldwide when it came to carbon dioxide emissions from fuel combustion. This led the government to implement the National Land Public Transport Master Plan 2012 to 2030, which aimed to increase public transport usage in urban areas.
In terms of emission from the transport sector, I think Malaysia has also put in place some pretty sound policies. They have actually set a target, which is quite ambitious, to increase by 40% the share of public transport in the urban areas. So that will directly reduce the number of private vehicles on the road. And also this is reflected in the government transformation plan, where one of the NKRA, which is the National Key Result Area, is in urban public transport. So they are looking at increasing the ridership in key urban cities by 2015 to 25%. We can see, especially in the Klang Valley, we have the LRT2, which is in RMK10. It's an expansion of the LRT system. And also coming in RMK11, pursuing green growth, one of the areas is about climate resilience, and they are also looking at reducing the emission from the transport sector. Then you have the MRT Line 1 and Line 2 that will come into operation. For Line 1, it will be like 2017. And then the Line 2 and Line 3 will be in 2022. So those are the kind of policy that, if implemented successfully, will definitely reduce the amount of vehicles on the road and then reduce emission from the transport sector.
Policies have also been put in place to reduce or phase out emissions from factories here, with the government required to prepare an annual update on emissions for the international community.
There is also a plan to reduce the emission, and Malaysia is also preparing this biannual update report, which is a requirement, a reporting of your actions to the international community. And there are more information, facts and figures in that report. So those are the report we can look at to get a more clear idea of what, in terms of emission reduction, how many million tons of CO2 is going to give that kind of positive results. And then, of course, about the FIT, the feed-in tariffs, and that is also contributing, and biomass as well, which is where the government is making it mandatory for a new and expansion of a palm oil mill to install a mechanism that will reduce the methane emission.
One of the key points in the action plan in COP21 was the pledge to conserve the Malaysian rainforest, one of the oldest in the world.
We should look at emission reduction from the forestry sector, like adopting more sustainable practices in the forestry sector, and in fact, even keeping the forest as a carbon store. And I think government has also pledged since Copenhagen, they said they will keep 50% of the forest cover. And that commitment was again uttered in Paris this time around by the new minister. And they even introduced a concept called the zero net deforestation, because as you know, we have been plagued by a lot of problem of unsustainable logging. So that is one area that we could actually contribute a lot. And by doing so, not only we cut down on the emission from the forestry sector, but we are also protecting our biodiversity, and which of course is, as you know, forest is also a source of water. So all this will come into play where we not only can reduce our emission, but we also prepare ourselves to be more climate resilient to all sorts of impacts that are coming.
Chu also stressed the importance of protecting the nation's natural line of defense against calamities like tsunamis, our mangrove forests. Studies have shown that these forests play a major role in sustaining the ecosystem and will adversely affect climate change if their destruction is allowed to continue.
In the climate negotiation, in terms of mitigation from the forestry sectors, there's also discussion about the blue carbon. So this is the area where mangroves comes in. Blue refers to the water, to the sea, and mangrove is a intertidal forest system. So this is also an area where countries are actively looking at to reduce the emission from this sort of forest. For Malaysia, mangrove is very important for protection, particularly now if you look at the impacts of climate change in terms of sea level rise. So it will be very important if we recognize that the value of mangrove, not only for its being the nursery of fisheries, which is also an issue that we have to look into, especially the oceans get warmer, you know, and then what would be the impact on our fishery stock, but also in terms of sea level rise, if we could keep our forests and strengthen the mangrove forest, this will also go a long way. This is what we call the ecosystem-based adaptation measures that we need to take. So there is a lot of positive things that we could do if we protect our forests. So it's not just the nursery for fisheries, but it's also a very good buffer against sea level rise instead of using hard engineering technologies, which, as I said, is technologies is going to cost money, especially if these are patented technologies and we don't have a very clear idea how the IPR issue is going to be addressed by this Paris Agreement.
That was Hilary Chu, climate change researcher at Third World Network. Malaysia has 14 years or so to meet its commitment to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions by 45% from 2005 levels. Whether or not this is possible, given the level of government and private sector initiatives, remains to be seen. This is Audrey Raj reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.